Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, this is Antonio of the Cultworthy Podcast, and you're listening to Sugar-Coated Murder, a deliciously decadent true crime podcast about murder and muffins. Put your bib on, because your hosts Anne and Karen have whipped up some tasty tales of untimely death, and nothing makes murder go down smoother than the delectable goodies fresh from their oven. So sit back, have a drink, and make room for murder. Sugar-coated murder. Bon appetit.
He's on the run from the law, falsely accused of murdering his... Wait. Oh, got my scripts mixed up here. Here we go. This makes more sense. The Movie Wire Podcast with host Justin Henson. Hear Justin's movie verdict wherever you listen to podcasts. Tune in to The Movie Wire today.
Sugar.
Sugar!
We're back.
Yes, we are.
We're back again.
We're still back.
We do. We're running a little bit late.
We are running late tonight, but that's okay.
No,
I mean, we're this running, week, I understand what you're saying.
Like, we missed an episode.
Yesterday was for lovers, though. We just couldn't get it done.
But we didn't do it last week either.
Yeah, we did. We didn't skip a week. We're just a couple days behind.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Oh. Because I know we hung out with the Crime Diner chicks on Friday.
Yeah. But we also released an episode that week.
Thank God, because I thought we had just not even released an episode. No.
Sorry, guys. We don't know what we're doing anymore. Uh-oh. She's yawning. It's going to be a long one.
It's okay. It's all right. I've been a little under the weather for the last couple of days, and it might be getting to me. But it's okay. We're going to press forward, because this is important stuff.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. We got this.
Yeah.
Not a worry.
It's your week to murder and my week to murder in the kitchen.
Yes. You're week for a killer recipe.
Killer recipe.
What you doing?
I found a lovely recipe on our favorite Sally's.
Oh, I love Sal.
Sally's Baking Addiction.
Sal, our pal.
Sal. And what drew me to this is it's called Just Two Chocolate Fudge Cakes. And I mean, I really like it because it just makes two little cakes in ramekins.
That. Yes.
So you don't have a lot of leftovers. Yep. And, you know, it's just two of you for a lover's holiday, that's all you really
exactly.
need.
It's not too late either.
No.
You can celebrate lover's holiday every single day
every
of the year.
Every day of the year. So this is a really simple, simple, simple recipe.
But is it simple?
It's simple. You are going to need 2 6-ounce oven-safe ramekins.
Yep.
Which, they don't have to be fancy. I think they even sell them at the dollar store.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You just need 2 of them. You're going to take 3 ounces of chocolate, 1/4 cup of heavy cream, some brown sugar, vegetable oil, 2 tablespoons of a beaten egg, which it's the first time
I've
ever...
That was tricky. I saw you doing that over there. And it's like, that's tricky.
Well, here, let me just warn you of one thing. If you measure out your vegetable oil, which is the ingredient before the eggs...
Yes.
...with your tablespoons, then you should really rinse and wipe out your tablespoon before you try to put the egg in. Otherwise, the egg just slides right out.
Oh, because of the oil.
Correct.
Oh, geez.
So, it took me more than one
egg. I saw that. Yeah. I was like, what's happening over there?
Then you put in some vanilla.
And it's got to be killer vanilla.
Yes. And it's so fun because I literally have mixed this in a Pyrex measuring what's
cup.
This called?
It's a glass measuring
yes,
cup.
That is what it is. I've mixed it all right in this little thing. And it's just, you take it and you pour it into your ramekins that have been sprayed, and then you're going to shove it in the oven and bake it.
Shove it in the oven. You're going to do an oven
shoving, and you're going to bake it at 350 for 15 to 16 short little tiny minutes.
I
cannot
that.
Wait to see how
yeah,
it comes out.
It smells good.
These are meant to be fluffy on the outside with a little gooey center.
A little gooey?
Not as gooey as a lava cake, but kind of gooey.
Okay.
And mine might actually be a little gooier because rather than put my chopped chocolate in the middle, I just stuck a Hershey's Kiss in it because I'm lazy.
Yeah, but you know what?
So we'll see how it works.
That's going to be yummy. It's going to be so yummy.
So I'm sticking these in the oven now.
Okay, perfect.
And while they're cooking, so you only have 15 to 16 minutes to get through your murder.
Oh, heavens to
Betsy. You're going to want to hurry it up.
Okay, I'm going right now. Ready? Go.
Go.
Okay, so I'm going to take you back to August of 1975.
Whoa.
And we're in Indiana.
I was a mere babe.
You kind of were. You were 6 years old.
Was it in Gary, Indiana?
It wasn't, but I don't remember where it is right now. Just not right now. It's okay. Indiana. Everybody knows where it is. Indiana.
Okay.
Okay.
You know Indiana.
Everybody in Indiana knows where it is. It's in Indiana. It's in the Indiana place. So, there's this girl named Laurel Jean Mitchell. She's 17 years old. She's described as being boisterous yet nurturing. She doted on the neighborhood kids. She's kind and she's smart. That's right. She's about to start her senior year in high school in Indiana. It's the Indiana High School.
Okay.
I seem to have not written down at all where this was. But maybe some clues will happen.
Okay.
So she had a job at a snack bar over the summer at a summer church camp on Webster Lake, if anybody knows where that is in Indiana, at this place called the Cokesbury Inn.
Cokesbury?
Yes. So she worked at the snack bar.
Nice.
August 6, 1975, she worked the 2 to 10 shift.
Okay.
Okay. She had plans to meet friends at the arcade of a close-by amusement park after work. So she left work around 10:15, and she was walking.
She was on foot.
She was on foot, and she was walking towards Adventureland from this it's called, not Upworth, it's Epworth. Epworth Sugarfoot. Son of a... It's in Indiana.
Okay.
It's Epworth Forest.
All right.
Okay. So she didn't typically walk to and from work, but both of her parents were working when she left that afternoon, so she just went ahead and walked to work. And because she was going to meet friends close by, she just was like, I'll just walk and meet them.
Yeah.
So she had an 11-year-old sister, not daughter, 11-year-old daughter. No, Karen.
Oh,
an 11-year-old
gosh.
Sister named Sarah, and she was at home alone. And Laurel actually had a friend from Michigan that was visiting that was supposed to meet up with some friends of Laurel's, and then that group of friends was going to meet her at the arcade.
Okay.
At the last minute, the friend group decided to go to the county fair over in a neighboring county.
What?
Yes. So around midnight, the Michigan friend actually returns home to Laurel's house with no Laurel.
Oh, no.
And, of course, her parents were like, where's Laurel? She was like, oh, I thought she would have just walked on home because we changed our plans.
Oh.
And so no one had noticed that Laurel had never shown up at the arcade because there was no one there to meet her.
Oh, no.
And back then, there are no cell phones. And this seems like it was kind of a rural area. So I don't think there was a payphone involved. So there was no way to contact Laurel to tell her that the plans had changed.
Oh, no.
And Laurel sets out on foot at 10:15 p.m.
Oh, no. No, Laurel.
Well, that's what her plans were.
I know, but Laurel Jean.
I love that name, Laurel Jean. So anyway, so her mom immediately called the police because it was not like her daughter to not come home. And it certainly was not like her daughter to be out alone at midnight. So in this small town of wherever, Indiana, in this small town of wherever they are in Indiana, everybody knows.
I'm just going to tell you what I think it might be. North Webster.
Is it North Webster in Indiana? Because Lake Webster?
I think it might be.
Okay. It could be. So anyway, she called the police, and everybody knew Laurel in the town, and so everyone springs into action.
Yeah, we're on it.
We're going to find Laurel.
We're finding Laurel Jean. Laurel Jean?
Laurel Jean Mitchell, where are you? So when Laurel's dad got home from work, he actually went out and started walking along the ditches in case she had gotten hit by a car.
Yes.
thinking that she would be like literally lying in a ditch, yes, which was what Mama used to say when I was late for curfew. And she would say, I didn't know where you were. You could have been lying in a ditch.
Yes. And that really, when we got older and our dad got dementia, he actually fell in a ditch. And yes, somebody saw him.
When
and,
he was walking.
And picked him up and brought him walking. Home.
Yes. Yes.
While he was walking his dog.
Yes.
On and the then, side in the middle of the day. Road.
In the middle of the day.
Oh, Lordy.
I know. So anyway, they start looking and there are no signs of Laurel. She was a conscientious teenager and she was not the runaway type. So nobody thought for one minute that she had run away or skipped off with a boyfriend or none of that. This right. was not, just this not, was just her not thing. Her character.
Right.
So the following morning, two fishermen, a father and a son, discover the body of a dead female floating in the a river 15 miles away.
15 miles?
And this was in Noble County. But was not the same county that Laurel was in to begin with.
Right, because she was in North Webster.
She which was in Indiana County.
Okay.
The county in Indiana. Yes. So they identified her as Laurel, and the autopsy revealed that she had died from homicidal intentional drowning.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So she had bruises on her shoulders and on her hands.
Oh.
And there was indication that she had fought for her life.
No, Laurel. Oh, my gosh.
She was fully clothed, but there were signs of sexual assault.
Oh, no.
Witnesses started calling in tips. A girl who lived across from the entrance to that Epworth Forest thing I talked about. So she remembered seeing and waving at Laurel as Laurel was walking to where. So Laurel would have come out of the entrance to that place to go down the road to the arcade.
Okay.
Okay. So she remembers.
So it's not like she's walking into a forest.
No, she was actually coming out of it where the lake was.
Out of the forest. Okay.
Yes. But it's not like it was a main road. It's still kind of rural.
Right, right.
So this girl remembers being on her porch and seeing Laurel and waving at her because everybody knew Laurel.
Everybody.
Everybody. So she remembered that. And at that time, she was alive and she was not with anybody. So, and the girl was able to give them kind of an approximate time. So they know, okay, we know that she left work and that she's on her way.
Mm.
So her family agonized over what had happened to their fresh-faced, kind-hearted Laurel.
Oh.
And the tips that were called in, they went nowhere.
Oh.
Lots of people called in tips. They just did nothing materialized.
You mean as to what happened to her?
Yeah, like... Yes, like tips like, oh, I saw her with a guy here, or I saw her with a man here.
So they just
here,
know she's dead, but they don't know what happened.
Yeah, and okay. A lot of people were trying to be helpful.
I understand,
but
yeah.
Nothing ever materialized.
Oh, man.
So
it's not that the police didn't follow up, it's just nothing
came
in the
tips. They were on it.
They
were
on
it the whole time.
Gotcha.
And police would never say whether or not DNA was found on Laurel's body.
Yeah, but back then, what'd they even do with DNA?
Right. And, well, they did collect it. I think that we had some people that saw into the future because they did collect things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they preserved them.
They were really good about preservation.
They really were.
Then.
They were very thorough with crime scenes. But the case went cold. But it was never inactive. It just was considered a cold case, but they never considered it inactive.
Yeah.
Because they still were pursuing any leads that would come in, anything that they could.
Right.
And, of course, they're waiting for science to catch up.
Of course.
Sadly, Laurel's parents died in 2012, 6 months apart.
Aww.
Never knowing who took their daughter from them. Sarah, Laurel's little sister, she worked diligently to keep her sister's case active and unforgotten. Every year on the anniversary of her disappearance, she would contact news stations and do news interviews, whatever she could do with the paper. She just really was very diligent.
That's great.
Yeah. So in August of 2021.
Oh, that's recent.
Mm-hmm, an article was published that talked about Laurel's disappearance and her murder.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still, I mean, from 75 to 2021, they're still talking about it. So... there was an Indiana State Police captain named Kevin Smith, and he was quoted saying that there were still viable living suspects.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. He asked once again for tips from the public. If you know anything, if you remember anything, keep in touch with us. And so now we're going to fast forward to last week.
Last week?
Well, February 6th, 9 days ago. Captain Smith had an announcement. And between DNA evidence. There's a new word for the dictionary.
Evidence
and witnesses and science.
Science.
They've made not one, but two arrests.
No.
Yes, they have after all this time.
Two
guys. 47 years old. No. 47 years after.
I was going to say, wait a minute. No. They were just babies?
47 years after the forcible, deliberate drowning of Sweet Laurel Jean, police have arrested two 67-year-old men.
Oh.
Fred Band Jr. and John Way Lehman. And the investigation is still active as the state prepares to take its case to court.
Wow.
So, science caught up to these two assholes.
Sounds like
it. And I like it when science catches up. Now, I will keep everybody informed of any updates from the case. The case does not have a date yet. They haven't set a court date yet.
Oh.
But, I mean, it's DNA evidence. I don't think these guys are going to get off.
Shoda, have you watched any court cases of late? Because
I am watching this one in particular.
But there's no DNA in that case.
Exactly. There's no definitive
DNA where people get off.
Okay, but just remember that we have a lot of different stuff we do now.
I know.
And there was DNA recovered at the scene.
I understand that, but still today people are getting off even with when there is DNA if they can prove that however what 40-year-old sample
47-year-old
yeah is tainted in any way, shape, or form. So there are ways that people, even though there's DNA, I'm not saying, I mean obviously if there's DNA these guys did it, but I don't know for sure that they're going down for it. We'll see.
Well, I will keep everybody...
keep us abreast.
I will keep you informed. I'm not doing anything with your breast.
I didn't ask you to do anything with my boobs.
Jeez, guys, did y'all hear that?
Why did you have to make it weird? You always take it one step too far.
I know. It's in my DNA.
I don't know. I just don't even know.
Which I shan't leave at a scene. So anyway, Sweet Laurel Jean.
Aw, well,
I just feel badly because her parents died and they didn't know. I mean, they know now, but they didn't know. And they didn't see justice happen for her. But
yeah.
Her sister, Sarah, is a fighter.
I wonder.
She's going to
So I guess what happens is they just every so often run that profile.
Yeah.
To see if it has any matches in a system.
So they've got it in their system.
Right.
So they'll also upload that into... They like upload that
database.
Into CODIS.
Right.
Yes.
But I wonder how often you have to hit the button.
I think
like
it's just
an automatic
thing.
Refresh.
I think anytime somebody's DNA is put into the system,
it just goes,
it runs it against everything that's
gotcha.
In CODIS.
So these Yahoos probably got in trouble for something different. And
probably so.
And then, bam, they ended up.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I did just read another story, not Laurel Jean's, but I did read this fascinating story about a serial rapist in Florida who just got caught after 30 years because he uploaded his DNA onto an ancestry.com and they caught him. Yes, he was a serial rapist.
Oh my gosh.
And they just caught him, dumbass. I mean, that's a dumb felon.
That is a dumb felon right there.
But I like it when felons are dumb because then they get caught.
I do too. That's amazing.
So that's my story. It wasn't a very long one.
No, my stuff isn't even done yet.
Well, I guess you'll have to tap dance. yeah.
Well, we can talk about other things.
We have other things.
We have other things to talk about. We wrote a book.
Yes, we wrote a book. And now our book has been on Barnes & Noble for hardback. And now, late breaking news, it's going to be soon. I don't know. We're not sure exactly when, but soon.
Yeah, probably within a week or so.
Yeah, it'll be, it'll now be a Nook.
Yep.
And it'll be in paperback on Barnes & Noble.
Correct.
So that's really exciting.
That is
and of course, there will be one or two social media posts about it.
Yeah, sure. No doubt.
Every other day I'm posting book,
but
podcast,
until then,
book,
it's still available as paperback or ebook. on Amazon.
Yes. And here's the thing.
And we have it in Kindle Unlimited right now.
Yes, it's in Kindle.
Kindle
Unlimited. And here's the other thing. For those of you who have read, who have actually read the book.
Yeah.
Can you just go on and throw some stars our way on Amazon?
Yeah, you don't have to say anything.
You don't have to say anything. Just throw us some stars. And we'd appreciate more than three, but whatever you feel like in your heart.
Yeah.
But yes, especially if you've read the book. It's really interesting when we get people that have obviously not read the book that want to review the book.
Yeah.
And they just want to spew hate and discontent.
Yeah.
And we don't really care about them. It's just funny to us when it's obvious in their reviews that they didn't read it.
Right. But they're a verified purchaser.
So thank you for giving us your money. Yes.
And we're sorry that you feel like you need to be ugly on the reviews.
On the reviews. Yeah. But
everybody is entitled to their opinion.
And that's how our country runs.
It is.
Opinions are free and so are assholes.
Yeah. Yes.
Assholes.
The good news is we've gotten more good reviews than
bad. Absolutely. So. Yes. It is very good. And we have had to therapize ourselves a little bit and say we shan't read any more reviews for a while. We're going to have to take a review break.
Yeah. We had to take a little break, but that's okay. That's all right. We're tough. Our skin is getting tougher and tougher.
I know.
We're just a couple of old broads.
We're just a couple of broads.
Couple of broads.
In the kitchen. Maybe writing a book. Whatever. That's what we do.
Yeah. That's good.
We love it.
We do.
We have social media.
We do have social media. And I really love our new website.
Me too.
Sugarcoated Pod.
Sugarcoatedpod.com.
Yes.
So if y'all could go check out that. It's real, real cute, y'all. It's real cute. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's everything you need. There's a link to the merch. There's a link to the books.
Yes.
To the book.
The book. There's only one right now.
One book on different sites. And then there's a link to our episode. So it's like a one-stop shop.
It's a one-stop shop.
There's even a thing you can press to send us a message if you want.
Oh, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
We would love to hear from you.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But if you don't want to do that, you can always just send us an email.
Yeah. And let us know that you're listening.
Yeah.
Send us a recipe. Send us a murder case.
Yes.
Or just send us a howdy ho, neighbor.
And that email address is murder.sugarcoated@gmail.com.
Yes. And we have Facebook.
We do.
We have all the social medias.
We're all social media.
We're on the gram. We're on the twit. And we're on the book of faces.
Exactly.
To borrow a phrase from our friend Katie. The book of faces.
The book of faces.
Yes. And so, and the grams of Insta.
The grams of Insta. I love that.
Yes.
And What's our handle on the Insta?
At Sugarcoated Murder.
Look at us go.
But on Twitter, it's at Sugar Murder because I was tired that day. Sugar Murder. Type a lot. Yeah. What else do we have going on? We've been watching the Murdaugh trial.
Oh, yeah.
Today was bubbly, I would say.
It was a little bubbly. I was ready for a gentleman's...
Uh-oh.
A gentleman's brawl. That's the... Our dessert is ready.
Oh, that's so exciting. Last game is 8:38 p.m. Woo-hoo. We're not supposed to say what time it is. I'm just kidding.
Well, it's not really a baseball game on either, so.
Oh, jeez.
But anyway, I was ready for a gentleman's brawl today because I thought that's where the attorneys were headed.
I was waiting. I was wanting. I'd like to see a brawl, like a bench clearing brawl.
Yeah.
Like I went to court and a hockey game broke out.
Yeah. I wondered exactly what was going to happen.
I felt like something was going to go down.
I don't know. If you haven't been watching it, it's not a murder that we're covering on our podcast because we have a local podcaster named Mandy Matney who does the Murdaugh murders.
And we would never, I don't even think we're worthy enough to stand in the same zip code as her.
Definitely not. So she does such a good job. We would never even attempt, but we have been watching that trial like it's our job.
Yeah.
Actually, while I'm doing my job, regular job during the day, I have it on and it starts at 9:30 and goes until 5:30.
I love it.
It's the best part of my day.
It is the best part of my day too right now.
Just because, you know, the worst part about it is that two innocent people were savagely murdered.
Yeah.
And it was senseless. It didn't need to happen.
No.
But it's interesting to see this all play out.
The court dynamics to me are just so interesting.
Small southern town with these interesting characters.
Some characters.
On the defense and on the state legal teams. They're the most interesting characters of all. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And there are two of them on each side that really have a disliking for each other. And it's apparent.
Yeah, it is.
Very apparent.
They really are.
They really kind of.
Two grumpy old men.
Yes. They just kind of nitpick at each other. And it's just like. Now, do I expect for there to be like a slap fight going on?
Right. Listen, here's this dessert.
Okay.
It smells hot. Delicious. It's very, very, very hot.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, it smells so good. There's something about the smell of warm chocolate.
I know,
it's
right?
It's very comforting, even if you don't put it in your mouth.
Oh, wow. This does have a very gooey center.
That's okay.
So it shouldn't be, if I did it right, it shouldn't be too sweet because it doesn't have white sugar. It only has brown sugar.
I like that.
And just a titch. It doesn't have a whole lot. Yeah. So I think it's, too sweet.
I feel like it's real chocolate.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. It's real good sugar.
Thank you.
I do like it. It's a little warm for me. I probably have a burnt tongue in the morning.
Yeah. I think I would like it even with some vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla ice cream would just hook this right up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next time. I did a little whipping cream.
No. I want strawberry ice cream on this.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want. Strawberry ice cream.
That would be so good.
Because, you know, I love strawberries and chocolate. It's my go-to flavor.
Yes.
I love it.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Next time.
Yes.
So if anybody wants the recipe, you can send us a message and we'll give you the recipe. Or you can go to sallysbakingaddiction.com.
Yes. That's our gal, Sal.
We love Sal.
She's our pal.
She's our pal. She has no idea, but she's our pal.
She has no idea. All right, guys. Well, we love the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Hey, stay sweet and don't murder.
Because if you kill people, we will talk about you.
And we might even put you in a book. Ah! All right,
this
y'all.
Has been
care.
Sugar-Coated Murder Podcast, a deliciously entertaining true crime podcast. Like what you heard? You can always explore past episodes by visiting sugarcoatedpod.com. Don't forget to like our Facebook fan page and share with friends. Thanks for listening to Sugar Coated Murder Podcast.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.